Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
This morning, I want to look with you at one of the scariest passages in the Bible. And those that know the Bible well are going to be going, "Ooh, which one's he going to talk about?" It may not be the one you're thinking. I think it's one of the scariest passages of the Bible. We're going to turn to the Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read verse 13 to 27. And in case you're wondering, I know it's not Easter Sunday today. Jesus has been crucified just before this passage. He's been crucified on Friday, and then it's now Sunday. Jesus is alive again. The women have seen him at the tomb, and the angels and all that's gone on. And then we get to verse 13 of chapter 24, Easter Sunday. It says, "That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?' They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, 'You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days.' 'What things?' Jesus asked." It's like, "Oh, what are you talking about? Don't know much about that." I just wonder how he said that. Like, "Oh, what things? What things?" "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told him Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself." This is why I think it's scary. God himself shows up and walks with them. He's talking to them, and they don't even recognize him. Now, I know it says God kept them from recognizing him, but think about it, that God who created the heavens and the earth, Jesus comes in bodily form right there beside them, walks with them, he talks with them, and they don't recognize him. I wonder who's sitting beside you this morning. I wonder who it is you're sitting beside. Turn and have a look if you need to. It scares me just a little bit that we cannot notice God's presence. Samson didn't realize that God's spirit had left him. Have a listen to what Jesus says to them in verse 25. He says, "You foolish people, why do you find it so hard to believe what the scriptures say?" And he explains to them about who the scriptures say that he would be. And finally, if you read on, it says that Jesus goes to stay at their home that night and he breaks bread with them. And finally, they realize, they're like, "Oh, it's you." And they realize at last. You know, we can go through life and not recognize who Jesus is. We can go to church our whole lives. You might have grown up in church and you cannot see who Jesus is sitting right beside you. But he is your Savior. He is the Messiah. And he wants you to know him, to see him, to recognize who he is. The title of my message this morning is Lift Up Your Eyes. Maybe it should be open your eyes, lift up your eyes. Have a listen to these verses in Psalms. Psalm 24, verse 1 to 2 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people." Have a think about that for a moment. All its people belong to him. "For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. He is God of all creation." Psalm 121, verse 1 to 8. Actually, I'll read the version on the screen. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." That's sleep. "Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Or maybe slumber and sleep are slightly different, sorry. Anyway. "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." God is with you. It's interesting, last week, Pastor Steve talked to us about the disciples in the storm, in the boat, crossing over the lake. I wonder if you remember what they said as Jesus came to them on the water. They said, "It's a ghost." They didn't recognize him. In John 21, another passage after Jesus' resurrection, it says the disciples go fishing, and as they're fishing all night, they catch nothing, and they're coming back to shore, and there's a man on the beach who says, "Hey, cast your nets out on the other side," and they don't recognize him. And they cast their nets out, and suddenly they've got their 153 fish or whatever it was, and suddenly they look up and go, "Oh wow, it's Jesus, it's the teacher," and they recognize him. How often do we not see when God is at work in our lives? How often do we not see what he's doing in our day-to-day lives? That he's working, that he's doing things, that he's present with us, and we don't even recognize him. Point number one, God is always at work. I wonder if there's ever been a moment, a day, a time, a week, a year, when you have doubted God's presence, that you've doubted what he's doing, what he's allowing maybe in your life, and you're struggling to see God's hand at work in your life. You're feeling like you've got nothing to praise God for. My encouragement for you this morning is lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Let's be honest, life has some bumps at times, doesn't it? Yep, we have some battles to go through at times. The storms come. But God is with us and he is for us and not against us. Just personally, over the last few weeks, just to share a little bit of where I'm at, if I'm really honest, I've had some moments of frustration over the last couple of weeks, some moments of overwhelm even, I would say, at times. For any of you who don't know, I've had a bit of a cancer journey the last 12, 18 months, and my current status is, actually, I'll go as of Friday, I've been waiting on a biopsy of my lung, which is a development I didn't really want to happen. Basically, the scans 18 months, 2 years ago, picked up that I had a spot, and they're believing it's scar tissue from a past chest infection or something. And they've kind of been like, "Yep, that's okay. It's just that we're not concerned." But then the last scan just recently showed up slightly differently, and they're saying now that can be just immunotherapy. That can make things look different, but we want to do a biopsy now. And I'm like, "Oh, great." That's, you know, those moments where you're like, "God, I know you're good, but God, what's the deal?" And if I'm really honest, I got really frustrated because, you know, I've had my year planned out. Does anyone know I like planning? I've had my year planned out around these. One of the first dates that went in my diary, I had little red dots on the weeks that I'm going to have treatment. I know that week, okay, I'm going to be a bit tired those next few days afterwards. And I kind of planned my meetings, my conferences and different things around those dates. And then 2 weeks ago, it was like, well, yeah, sorry, we're not going to do treatment this week. We're going to wait to do the biopsy, then we're going to do treatment. And I go, oh, okay, rightio, there we go. And I got a little bit frustrated. Then find out on Friday that apparently now they've decided they can't actually do the biopsy because it's in a spot they can't get to. So now I'm like, okay, so you wanted to do a biopsy. Now we can't do the biopsy. So now I'm like, oh, well, okay, God, you're good. We're just going to trust you. And they weren't concerned, but they were going to do the biopsy. Now we're not doing the biopsy. Does anyone get frustrated at times? Yeah, I'm with you on that. But church, God is still at work. Where he guides us, he provides for us, and he's going to use us. He's still at work, he's still good, and he is faithful. Have a listen to John chapter 9 for a moment. John chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. It says this, as Jesus was walking along. Sorry, totally different story, just you'll see where I'm going in a moment. He saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, the disciples asked him, why has this man been born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. When we go through things, bumps, challenges, we just need to look to God to lift up our eyes and say, God, help me see how you want to use this for your glory. You are still at work. You are still good. We go through challenges. We go through bumps. But God, help us see the blessings that he is giving us day by day, week by week, that we have eternal life, that we can know that we have a Savior. There is nothing that can take away the joy we have in him. I just want to point out a few of the answers to prayer I've had over the last couple of weeks, because I can stand up and give you an update about where I'm at right now. But I just want to praise God for, 18 months ago when I first saw the surgeon, Rochelle and I had a real moment when the surgeon said to me, Andrew, you may not get back to riding a bike again. And I was like, I haven't kind of verbalized that very much until I proved him wrong. And then he said to me, "And you're definitely never going to race again." But I just want to stand and declare 2 weeks ago I proved him wrong on that too. Praise God, we have a healing God. And I may have been in E-grade, but I came second. And I thank God for the strength to be able to do that. Just this week, I actually have been in Adelaide this week for a CRC national meeting, and I got to fly to Adelaide. And you might not realize, but that was a big deal after having all your lymph glands taken out. Swelling for your body can become a big deal. And I flew to Adelaide, I flew back from Adelaide, and I had no issues with swelling. And I just want to praise God for what he's doing there. We have a miracle working healing God. Thursday, Michael, he's been so excited about his soccer grand final, and he's got a bit sick the past week, and I just want to praise God. I know some of the life groups here were praying for him, and we were praying for him that he'd be healthy and well, and praise God, he was healthy enough to play the game, and he even scored 4 goals and won the game anyway. God is a faithful, healing God. I thank God I've got a family and a church family who loves me and cares for me. We have a miracle-working, wonderful God. Let's not be blinded by the challenges. I've got a picture in my office. I knew I was going to bring it out here. I forgot. A picture of the sun shining through the trees. And at times there's obstacles in our view to what God is doing sometimes. There's things that are happening in our lives and we struggle to see the light behind the trees. But that picture on the wall, I hung it there saying, God, help me to always remember your light shines through the darkness. And whatever the trees are in your life, those barriers to seeing God's goodness, look to the sun. Look to the one who gave his life upon the cross for you. You know, in the beginning of 2020, you know, back in, you know, BC, AC. Before COVID, I preached a message on gratitude, and I've had this stuck on my wall in my office ever since. And I spoke about not letting dreams of future blessings blind us to the blessings in our present. That is my prayer for us, that we would not be blinded by the things that we hope for, that we wouldn't see the things that God has given us. God is at work. Point number two, look up. Look up to Him. Turn to God in prayer. Turn to the one who can answer your cries of your heart. Let's look up to Him. Let's be quick to remind each other to pray. When we share, when we talk before church, after church, through the week, when we're talking to people, let's be quick to pray. Don't say, yeah, I'll pray for you and then walk away. Let's pray in the moment. I know last Sunday, some of you, I was talking with you and we prayed. Even if it's a quick prayer. We don't need to pray long, elaborate prayers. Just pray. Actually, I just want to share, over the last month, I've been using a new app. I kind of got into the Bible app for helping me pray through specific prayers for different people that were going on, but I found it a little bit frustrating. And I was talking to someone else who had an app that they used to pray, and I thought I'd share the app name there. It's called PrayerMate, and there's a QR code even. If you want an app to help you pray better, basically it's a prayer journal that you can put in different prayer requests, different prayer needs for different people, and as you start to make a list, you realize it can get pretty long. And does anyone have a moment where you've wanted to stop and pray, but you start praying, you think, I need so long to pray right now? And this app, basically the idea is it helps you pick out five, or you can tell it how many things you want to pray through each day, and it'll just help you bring up the names of some different people, some different things that you've got in your prayer journal, and help you pray specifically for those things. And I'm really enjoying just using this app as it prompts me on different things and people. Has anyone ever said, I'll pray for you for someone? And then came the silence. I want to admit there's been moments where it's happened. But I don't want it to be the case. I want my prayer life to grow. And last Sunday, those that I did pray with you, I put you into my prayer journal. And you don't come up every day, but you come up. And as a church, you're in my prayer journal and you're coming up, and I'm being reminded to pray for you. And if you want to grow in your prayer, I want to encourage you, don't just make it a wish, do something about it. If you want to grow in your prayer life, and God's words tells us that His people will be a people of prayer. Are we His people? Are we a people of prayer? Maybe you want to come along tonight. Tonight we've got our worship prayer night. It's going to be a little bit different. I don't think we're going to have a band tonight. We're going to we'll have some music and have a time of worship, but it's going to be a time of prayer. And maybe tonight you want to come along from 6 till 7. I've got that right in my brain. Yep. 6 till 7 p.m. tonight, come along and just put aside that time just to seek God and pray. Let's look up. Pray and fast. I don't love fasting, I've got to be honest. But it's biblical to put aside the things of this world and seek God. God rewards those who seek Him. Have a listen to God's response to Abram. When Abram was a little overwhelmed, he didn't have any children, and God was saying about how He was going to bless him and use him. And he's thinking, God, I have no children. How is this ever going to come to pass? In Genesis 15, listen to God's answer to Abram. Then the Lord said to him, No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. God says to Abram, look up and see. Look up and trust me. Look up and know that I'm going to make this happen. I think basically God's saying, Abram, this isn't up to you to work out and make it happen. I'm going to do this through you. And as we face situations in life and we start to get upset and anxious and frustrated or whatever, we try and work out all our strategies of how to make things work and what are we going to do about this, and God's saying, stop, look up, look to me, listen to what I'm saying and trust me. God is able to make the things happen that we thought were impossible. Have a listen to Colossians chapter 3, thinking about our lives in Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. How often do we allow our minds to wander, to start thinking about all the stuff in life and not turn to him? Wonder how often we allow our doubts to settle in our minds or start thinking about all the things that we don't feel like we can do. Point number three, let's elevate our thinking. Let's lift our thoughts to heavenly things. Let's lift our thoughts to what the Word of God says. Start to claim the Word of God. Start to stop just saying what we see and what we feel like and look at the Word of God and say, God, your Word says, so I'm going to trust in you. Let's elevate our thinking. You know, you might have walked in here this morning feeling like not so great. You might have been feeling a little overwhelmed. You might even be doubting God's love for you, but Jesus gave his life for you upon the cross. As a church, we take communion every week because we never want to forget that it's all about the cross. It is all about what Jesus did for us upon the cross. He gave his life as the sacrifice for my sin and for your sin because he loves you that much. And he will never turn his back on you. He cares about you. God, help us to simply lift up our eyes and see his love for us. To lift up our thoughts and see what he says about us. Wonder if you're ever like me and you get so laser focused. You get laser focused doing the thing that you're doing. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at play, whatever, watching TV. I know there's times when I've been working on things and my amazing, wonderful wife brings me a coffee and just turns up and gives me a coffee at church or maybe at home, and she'll sit the coffee down and I'll even say, oh, thank you. And then I'll keep working away, and then half an hour later I'll look up and go, oh, wow, there's coffee there. I didn't know that was there. It's like you're so focused on what you're doing that you don't even see the things that are happening around you. You can verbally respond and still you don't even know what's happening around you. What if you've ever been hands up if you've ever been hiking and you've been walking along and you're so busy looking at the bit of the path in front of you and you're kind of looking at all the rocks you're trying to avoid and you're walking, you're hiking, and you're walking through the most amazing, beautiful scenery, and suddenly you stop and realize, I haven't seen anything but my feet for the last 10 kilometers. And you look up and you go, oh, wow. It's like, how did I miss this? Seriously, has anyone had that happen? Yeah, you've been bushwalking. I remember I was riding in a bike race from Port Campbell to Warrnambool a couple of years ago, one of the most beautiful roads in the world. And I'm riding along in this race, and I'm just staring at the guy in Lycra in front of me and trying to not hit his wheel. And suddenly I realize I'm on one of the most beautiful roads in the world. And I just sort of zoned out of the race for a moment and just looked up and thought, oh, wow, this is beautiful. You know, in life, we can get so laser focused at, oh, this is going to happen this week, and oh, that's on my schedule for today, and oh, this is what my kids need this week, and I've got to go and pick up the kids from there today. We get so laser focused in life that we forget to see what God is doing around us, what God is saying to us. We need to open his word and say, God, take the scales off my eyes. Help me to remember and see your goodness, your love for me and for this world around me. That we would look up and just go, wow. God, your love for me is amazing. That we would be overwhelmed by his love. Day by day, week by week. I never want to get familiar with God's love and just go, oh yeah, God loves us. Jesus died on the cross for you and I. I want to finish with this passage in Jeremiah, and I'll ask the band to come. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 8 says, The Lord gave me this message, speaking to Jeremiah. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. What did Moses say when God told him to go and speak for him? I can't speak. Jeremiah, go and say this for me. I can't speak. They both had different excuses. God speaks to us and we say, God, I will go. Or maybe I wonder if it's God, I can't because I'm too overwhelmed. God, I'm too old. God, I'm too young. God, I'm too busy right now. God formed you. He knows you. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And we can trust in Him. My final point I want to make this morning, and I pray that this would be our prayer. Point number 4, God, open our eyes. God, open our eyes to see ourselves as He sees us, to see what He has called us to do, and that we would trust Him with His calling. That we would trust Him as He calls us to come to Him because He loves us. His love, His forgiveness, His mercy, His grace, His empowering, it is for us. He poured out His Holy Spirit that we would be filled and empowered and prepared for every good work that He's prepared in advance for us to do. And I pray that God would open our eyes to see the world around us, the people we work with, the people in our street, the people we see week by week, day by day, year by year, that we would see a community and a people that need Him, that need His love, that need to know His grace, His forgiveness. God, lift up our eyes. Open our eyes. Let the scales fall off, God. Those calloused eyes that we can get just going through life day by day. Can we stand as we pray together now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. God, I just pray again that we would be a people of gratitude, that we would be a people who are not blinded by the things we're still praying for, or the desires in our heart that we haven't yet seemed to come to pass. God, I pray that we would be a people of gratitude, a people of gratefulness, a people of praise, a people of thankfulness. And God, whatever we may be facing today, I pray, Lord God, that You would help us to see that You are good, that You are at work, that You are faithful. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to lift up our eyes, to lift up our thoughts, to turn to You in prayer and submit our requests to You. Lord, we thank You for the answers to those prayers. We thank You for Your healing power. We thank You, God, for Your miraculous power to change circumstances. And God, I just pray that You would open our eyes to see ourselves as You see us. Lord, You have washed us clean. You have removed our sin as far as east is from the west. For anyone who turns to You, we are forgiven. We are made whole. We have been bought with the precious blood of Christ. And Lord, I pray today that we would see past the lies of the enemy, that we would see past those accusations. Even though we may have stumbled in the weeks gone by, the hours of the morning even, Lord, that You are good and that Your love and Your faithfulness will endure forever. And God, I pray for every person listening to my words right now, God, that we would believe the truth about who You say we are. That we are loved, that we are chosen, that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed, that we are precious in Your sight. And God, I just pray that You would help us to believe Your words as You speak to us in Your word, as You speak to us by Your rhema words to us by Your Spirit, about the things You are calling us to. The words You want us to say to our neighbor, our friend, that person on the bus, wherever it might be. God, that you would help us to see people the way you see them. Lord, you so loved the world that you gave your life upon the cross. Lord, I pray that you would help us to give of our lives for your glory. God, to give that 5 minutes to that person who's grieving, to give that time to that person who needs that phone call, to give that time over lunch to just sit with that person. Lord, help us to get up and follow you. Open our eyes, lift up our eyes. And Lord, I just pray that we would give the glory and the praise to you each day that you so, so deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing. This morning, if you have a prayer to pray, if you have a request, you want to come and just have someone pray with you, please come and we'd love to pray with you. You can tap the person on the shoulder beside you and say, hey, can you pray with me? Well, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you this morning. God is a miracle working God. He can speak words into your life that you'll just be blown away what God will say sometimes. And I just encourage you to come if that's you this morning. And let's give him the praise that he deserves right now. Thanks, team.
Amen. And don't forget tonight, 6 till 7, we'll be meeting here in the church. There's just going to be some beautiful music playing. There won't be a band this time. We're going to just use that time just